Well, today, as I mentioned earlier, we enter into the season of Lent, and Lent is a particular time within the Christian church and has a very specific purpose. It's the 40 days before Holy Week, and the purpose of the season of Lent is to have a time of reflection, to think deeply, to ask the deeper questions in life, a time to pray together, a time for silence when we can shut off the phones and shut off the radios and televisions, and just be keenly aware of the mystery of God's presence in the midst of our lives. And it's a time to think about the life of Jesus and the path that he walked and the people that he met as he moved closer and closer to the cross in the liberation that he provides for us all. And so in this season of Lent, I'm going to have a sermon series. It's titled Focus on Today, Be Mindful of Tomorrow. And the purpose of this sermon series is to really help connect the dots, to help people understand how faith is important today and what it does for us now, but also a faith that supports us and encourages us in the future and throughout our entire life. Today I'm going to talk about the significance of one. Next week about the wonder of grace. The following week about the blessings of hope. On the 22nd, the clarity of light. On the 29th, the strength of spirit. And then on April the 5th, the unity of the mind. And all the way through this, we're going to take a look at how faith is meant to support and encourage us today, but there's also the future aspect of faith. And we're going to take a look at both of those pieces. This morning, I want to talk about the significance of one. Now, in culture, most people don't think of one person as significant. Culture usually doesn't pay much attention until there's a group of people that are not happy. If one person's unhappy, they don't really care. But if there's a group of people, then all of a sudden, people start paying attention because we think the significance of one is not that important. But the scripture stories tell us much differently. All the way through the scriptures, there are stories and there are passages that speak about how God cares for everyone, how everyone is significant, and there is not one person that God is not aware of in times of need or in the midst of the journey of their life. In Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, the 4th verse, Isaiah said, "You are precious to me, you are honored, and I love you." In Matthew's gospel, Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." In 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, the 7th verse, Peter says, "Cast all your anxiety on God, because God cares for you." And then in James, the 4th chapter, 8th verse, "Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you." The whole biblical story is about a God who cares. That's why we talk as a Christian faith as a personal God, not some distant God way out there somewhere, but a God who is right there in amidst us and among us and around us and within us. And a God who cares about every little one of us. Way back in Sunday school, when I was about this high, we used to sing a song called "God Sees the Little Sparrows Fall." Anybody know that song? Put it behind you. There you go. There's a few of you that are old like me too. And it talks about how, God sees the little sparrow fall. It meets his tender view. If God so loves, I know God. There you go. See, you guys know that. And the whole biblical story is about this God who is way beyond us, and yet within us and through us, and that God cares about you, and that all individuals, everyone, is significant. And that's the good news, because it reminds us we're not alone. And that's the message of Christ. Jesus came into the world to walk among the people of the world, to remind them that God cares, and to assure them that they're not alone. That you enter, when you enter into the Christian faith, there is no longer just you any longer. There is always you and the presence of Christ within you. And that's an important piece for us as people of faith to understand, because it means that no matter what's going on in our life today, whether there's challenges or difficulties or problems, we're not facing them alone, that there's this presence of God, this presence of Christ within us. And there's always two people walking with each of us, ourselves and the presence of Christ. And that's an important message that you and I, as God's people, first need to understand ourselves and incorporate that within our day-to-day living, and then we're called to make sure that message gets out to others. And that's what Jesus asked his disciples to be. Jesus was the most significant person. Through that one person, a whole faith began that has swept across the world. It's a different strength in different places of the world, but the Christian faith is alive and dynamic throughout the world. Probably the weakest place for the Christian faith is right here in first world nations. The people that have so much are the ones that depend upon God the least. Those who have nothing at all depend on God for the most. But we're called to be people who get it, to realize that we're not alone, that God is with us, that Christ is present in us, and that we're to remind others about God's presence and God's love. In fact, we're called to be a light to other people. This isn't a great graphic because you can't see anything but this little candle. It's a candle in a dark room. And when you light a candle in a room that's pitch black, the single candle breaks the darkness. It splits the darkness, and all of a sudden, light enters. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus came into the world, and he split the darkness of life. And he became the light for all God's people. And you and I are called to do that for others. That's the significance of your life and mine. We are called to go and be the light for another. I love this little phrase. It says, be the light in somebody else's darkness. That's your job as a Christian. Your job is to be so aware of the light, so aware of the presence of Christ, that when you go into the life of another person who's struggling and going through difficult times, you become a light for them in their moments of darkness. That's what we're called to do. And so I want to briefly talk about that. How do we do that? Well, the first thing it means to be aware of the one who is greater than yourself. It's important that if you're going to be a light to others, you're tapped into the energy of God, that you're aware of this presence that is bigger than you and bigger than me. You can't possibly help another person with your own energy. There's just not enough of you going around. If you're going to be that light in somebody else's darkness, we need to be connected to the light of Christ. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. The second thing is to treat others as Christ. If you and I could get this, it would transform our community of faith and the people that we meet each day. If you and I could just simply treat others that we meet as Jesus himself, it would change the way you view and live out your life. But that's the hard thing to do, you see. It's easy for us to treat people that we like. It's hard to treat the stranger or the people that is poor, people that are poor, or the people in need as if they are Christ themselves. And often the church says, it's good enough for them. You ever heard that? You know, I won't buy them new clothes, but I'll give them the old stuff that I don't want. It's good enough for them. As Christians, we have this good enough. When we feed people at the diner, we'll feed them the good enough stuff. We won't feed them the best stuff, but just the stuff that's good enough. And they should be thankful. Ever heard someone say that? They should just be thankful for what they get. Right? Now, if Christ was coming to your table tonight, my guess is you would not feed him hot dogs and beans. My guess is you'd get out the good food, the steak, the potatoes, the fresh vegetables, the good dessert. If you're a wine person, the best wine. Right? If Christ was coming to my table and I knew it was Christ coming tonight, I'd give him the best stuff. It would not be the good enough stuff anymore. You see, and if you and I could get in our minds that when we're with other people, Doesn't matter whether the Prime Minister of Canada or the bum on the street, we treat them as if that person is Jesus themselves. And if we did that, if we could only do that, if you and I, if I could only do that, and if you could only do that, it would transform our community of faith and our world. Third thing is, do what you can for the person in front of you. It's not by mistake that people come into your life. People often have this idea that it's kind of random, that just people show up for some reason. When you meet someone that you don't know this week, the question is, what does God want you to do? How can you be the significant one in that person's light? How can you bring light into that person's life, whatever they're experiencing, whatever's going on? And the challenge is to just simply do what you can. You can't do everything for everybody. Nobody has that ability. But what you can do is what you can do with the person in front of you. You can treat them as if they're with Christ, like Christ. You can listen to them. You can comfort them. You can give them hope. You can strengthen them. You can encourage them. You can help them to be thankful that God sent you into their life at that moment, in that part of the day. And that's what being a light to others is in their darkness. And then the final thing is, be aware that God is working in ways we cannot understand. You see, because we do not walk alone, because Christ is always with us, that always means God's Spirit is somewhere in the mix when I'm in conversation with you. It's just not me alone. And when we help people, it's just not Grace Church doing it by themselves. There's always this presence of God working behind the scenes, working in the words, working in using the actions and the attitudes in a positive and healthy way to make a difference in that life of the person. And every time you engage with another person, there is a third party present. Always a third party present. And that third party is God's Spirit, or the Holy Spirit, doing what God needs you to do in that moment to lift that person, to encourage that person, and to help them know that they're not alone. And that's our responsibility. You don't have to do it to the whole world. Just do it to each person that you meet this week. And to know that that person is significant and that you are significant. And when those two significances come together, there is a third significance, which is the power of God's presence and God's love. We have significance as individuals. You have significance as an individual. And the reason we have significance is because you and I are connected with the one who is significant. And that is the risen Christ, the God of love, the source of life. This week, you're going to meet people you do not know right now. Maybe at the bank, maybe at the grocery store, the variety store, who knows? But God's going to put you in that situation, and the question is, what are you going to do with that moment? What are you going to do at that time? And how will you use the significance of your moment and your life to make a difference in the people that you will meet this week? May your eyes be opened as we begin the season of Lent to realize that there's lots going on here in our world. And God calls you to be the one who is significant at this moment and in each moment of our living.